What happened there? Okay. I want to speak on the subject of, people want to get rid of me quick, of what lives, what legacies, let's say that together, what lives, what legacies. It was 2 weeks ago, last time I spoke, which was speaking on the portion of Lech Lecha, which is really Abraham's beginning insofar as his call by from God to go to the land of Israel. According to the scriptures, he was 75 then. Today, the portion is Chaye Sarah, which is the end of Abraham's life, and he dies at 175, and basically over these 2 weeks, we have the life of Abraham as well as Sarah. In fact, today's portion itself begins with Sarah's death and ends with Abraham's death. Begins with Sarah's death and ends with Abraham's death. And all I can say with respect to both of them is what lives and what legacies that these two people had throughout their lives. Look, when we look at their lives, they weren't perfect. In fact, the scriptures are very clear about the life that they lived. I mean, Abraham at the very beginning, in disobedience to the Lord, brought Lot with him, his nephew, which caused a series of complications. Later, he lies about Sarah being his sister and so forth because he's afraid that he's going to be killed for his wife and so on, and that brings complications. And then, of course, we remember Sarah, where she suggests that Hagar bear the children of Abraham to build the children for Abraham and so forth, and that later creates a whole series of complications, which of course we're still dealing with today with the descendants of Ishmael. And then later on, she ends up persecuting Hagar, so there's a whole series of complications from their lives. And yet, look what Abraham and Sarah left behind in their lives. They became the father and mother of a great nation that ends up blessing all the other nations of the earth, just as the Lord said would happen, it did happen. How did it happen? How did these two accomplish something that changed the entire world? And you know what? It's all summarized in one word, and the word is obedience. That's how they changed the world. Let's look at exactly what they did. Abraham obeyed the Lord when he was called to leave his native country and go into a country that it was not his own and he didn't know anything about. Abraham believed and then obeyed the Lord when God promised that he would have a son even in his late age. Even when it looked like it was impossible for him to have children, he still believed the Lord and obeyed the Lord, and as a result, Isaac was born. He ends up obeying the Lord when God tells him to circumcise his children and himself at the age that he was. And as Rabbi David shared last week, poor Abraham had to circumcise himself. No anesthesia. You know, no Ron Bailiff is out there, you know, making it easier for the circumcision. And then he has to suffer with that to then have to, as David said last week, to be hospitable with all of these strangers that come up. But he obeyed the Lord and he did it. He obeys the Lord when he has to sadly, and really, I say this really, really strongly, when he has to sadly send Hagar and Ishmael away. I mean, yes, it was disobedient. It was disobedience and a lack of faith that produced Ishmael. But the reality is, was Ishmael was his son. It was his oldest son. And now he has to send him away in obedience to the Lord. I mean, I can't even imagine the pain that he would have felt to release his son and to say goodbye, to not see him again. And then finally, of course, he obeys the Lord when he's called upon to sacrifice his only remaining son, Isaac, on the altar. And it's only by the intervention of the Lord that this man he is saved. And so the reality is that these folks, Sarah and Abraham, obeyed the Lord. And as a result, what lives and what legacies come from their lives? It's amazing. For most of us, I believe that we want our lives to count. I actually believe that. In fact, I actually believe that about most of the people in the world. That I believe that most people want to do something with their lives that's going to count in some fashion. It's something that we'll participate in something bigger than ourselves, right? I mean, sure, there's some folks that just want to live for self. There's no question about that, that their goal is to accumulate wealth and power for self alone. But I really think that's a minority of people. I believe that most people want to do something that matters, to build a legacy of sorts with their lives. You know, you even see this with people who are extremely wealthy. Let's consider some people that we know who are extremely wealthy, what they've done with that wealth. We take in our own city, the Weinstein family, who have our huge property owners around Virginia and so forth. What have they done? They've given tremendous amounts of money to the Jewish Community Center so that the center is named after them, the Weinstein JCC. Or in addition, they gave money to the University of Richmond, and now a whole section of the university's programs are named after them. Or you take Stuart Siegel, the founder of S&K Menswear. And what he did, he's given a tremendous amount of his wealth to build the Siegel Center down at VCU. And now that's what it's known for. Or you take Bill and Melinda Gates. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, one of the wealthiest men in the entire world. What has he done? They've built this huge foundation, poured billions of dollars in it, and now are funding all kinds of health experiments around the world and so on. In other words, the point is, what are these people doing? They're building something that outlasts their own lives, that has a profound effect upon society. That's what I mean about building a legacy. Few of us, however, attain great wealth. But all of us can build a legacy that outlasts our life. You see, this is the challenge to me when I was in college in my junior year. And my goal was to enter politics, and because my family was very political, and that was my whole upbringing, and that was my goal. And the Lord spoke to me after my junior year in college, and he said to me, Jamie, he said, I'm going to give you a choice for your life. You can go on into politics if you want, and I will make you someone significant, and you'll be used of me. Or he said, you can do my will. You won't be anybody great in this world, but you'll be great in my kingdom. And so it was a challenge for me to choose, but I chose the latter. I chose to serve in his kingdom. Why? Because I wanted to produce a legacy that was going to last. I wanted to obey the Lord and know that I was going to do something that was really going to count. Now, I'm not suggesting in any sense that there is something superior to going into the ministry than there is to going into politics or into law or into business or into medicine or into computers or whatever it is. Rather, the issue is really simple. It's the issue of obedience. Will you obey the Lord in whatever he's calling you to do in your life? Now, obedience encompasses many areas in a person's life. It's not just about the call that God has in our lives. Obedience involves keeping the commandments. In other words, that we the clear commandments, things like that we don't steal, that we don't cheat, that we don't lie. These are ways that we build a legacy by obeying the Lord in some of the foundational truths of who you and I are, or who you and I are called to be. Then we are also called to be obedient as to how God, by his Spirit, moves in our lives and applies the commandments into our lives. As I've shared before, I think it was 2 weeks ago, how the Lord can focus in and spot idols in our lives by using his Spirit to areas where we put these things before the Lord. We will serve them rather than the Lord. And so the issue is where we will be obedient to remove the idols in our lives, the things that prevent us from serving him wholeheartedly, and that we'll make him first. Number three, it also means being obedient to God-given authority in our lives, especially leadership in a congregation. You know, it's so easy sometimes to feel like I'm serving the Lord. I want to do what the Lord wants. And sometimes it comes into conflict with leaders in the congregation. But if God has risen up righteous leaders, then you need to listen to righteous leadership, because they help to guide us and to form us into the right directions. And when we don't, then we lose the blessing that God can have on our lives. And finally, it means being obedient to God's call in our lives, whatever that is. It's whatever he puts in our hearts to do, we've got to obey. All of this is important, and all of it leads to having a legacy in our own lives. For those who are married with children, the legacy in part is your own children. That's part of what God has given to you. Consider Abraham and Sarah. What was their legacy? Their legacy was Isaac. And in fact, it could be argued that the promises that God had given to Abraham could not have been fulfilled had not Isaac been born and been carried through with Abraham and Sarah's legacy. In other words, that what they started could not have been completed without Isaac. One thing about Isaac that he saw and experienced how his parents put God first in their lives. That he saw in their lives, in fact, if you would look at the sacrifice of Isaac, consider, let's look at it through the eyes of Isaac as he grows up. Now, of course, today, if anything like that happened, if we'd attempted to sacrifice our children to the Lord, the Child Protective Services would be all over us, and we'd be jailed for sure, right? That's the reality. So I'm not suggesting that anybody attempt sacrifice their children. But children need to see their parents are willing to put God first in their own lives and for the sake of the children. Even through the struggle, even when you're struggling in the anguish of that. Children, you know, what's happened in our society is that everything has become child-centric, if you know what I mean. In other words, we got to do everything for the kids. We got to get them to the ball games. We got to get them into the soccer matches. We got to get them into the music programs. We got to get them to do this, get them to do that, da-da-da. And all those things are valuable. I'm not suggesting they're not. But the most important thing for a child to see is that the parents serve the Lord first, that they will do what it takes to serve God. And when you serve God, you will love your children and you will discipline your children, no question. But that's what creates legacy in children, is when parents put God first in their lives. For those who are in business who are employed, the legacy for them is what I call performance with grace. In other words, that you in business or you as an employee are known as a person of integrity and workmanship, that you treat other people well, that you... even competitors or fellow employees or even enemies, that you treat them well. Note this, that integrity is only an issue when it's tested. I'm going to say that again. Integrity is only an issue when it's tested. Will you cut corners? Will you hide things? Will you cheat? Or will you do what's right when the easier approach is to do what's wrong? That's always the issue for anybody that's in business and so on. These are all legacy builders. All of these things are legacy builders in our lives. Now, it's not coincidental that the last message I gave here was Lech Lecha. You leave your country and go to a new place. 22 years ago, we left our country 100 miles north of here, which is a different country, the Washington, D.C. area, to move south, right? And it was a challenge. It was a challenge. And we came here and we built what we built. And now our call is to leave this country and go to another one, literally. It's the country, of course, that Abraham and Sarah went to. So it's not accidental or coincidental that last week we spoke on Lech Lecha. It's also not coincidental that today's message is Chayei Sarah. The lives and the legacies of Abraham and Sarah, that's what this is about. Why is that the case? Because for the last 22 years, you are our legacy. That's the reality. And like Abraham and Sarah, Stacy and I have made our share of mistakes. We definitely have. But by and large, we've built something significant here. And by the grace of God, that thing's going to last. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See what Paul has to say about this. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. By the grace that God has given to me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Yeshua the Messiah. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. We've laid a foundation here. It's something new, and yet it's something old. It's new that after 1,800 years, we've shown that one can live as a Jew and follow Yeshua the Messiah. And of course, it's something old, because as we know, Yeshua said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so, in other words, the movement began as Jews following Yeshua, and we are renewing that vision. We've taken a historic synagogue here, an Orthodox one, that laid dormant 15 years after the Orthodox community moved west of here and built some another place. And we transformed it into a vision that our founder Mo had, building, a building that is pulsating with energy and full of light, to which Jews and others will stop to enter as the services go on. And in fact, we are the first Messianic congregation in the world to be housed in a former synagogue. We've impacted the city around about us here. As we've prepared to go, Stacy and I have prepared to go, and we've met with different leaders around the community, I've been amazed and, quite frankly, humbled by how many folks from so many different backgrounds have said how God has used this place in their lives. And even throughout the entire world, our work with the Russian immigrants here and elsewhere, our work in Russia and in Israel most recently, it's not just Stacy and me that's been doing this, but it's you. And it's not a one or two person show, it's a community that has been able to accomplish what we've accomplished. This is not a personality cult here. As the Apostle Paul said, the foundation is Yeshua the Messiah. It's not Jamie or Stacy Cowan. I don't see myself as an entertainer who comes and goes, but rather as a builder of men and women to serve the Lord. That's my role. And here's the test. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 14 and 15, it says this: if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. David and I are different, and Harumi and Stacy are different, but the word of God endures forever. I'm going to say it again. The word of God endures forever. The test of spiritual maturity is completing what you start. Remember the story of Yeshua and the parable of the different seeds. Remember that it's the story of a sower who took some seed and he threw it out into the... He went to sow around in various places. Some fell on some rocky soil or some, you know, by the wayside. Scripture says birds came and plucked it away and took it away. Some other soil fell in some shallow soil. The plant grew up quickly and then died and burned up when the sun hit it. Third kind of seed fell among thorns and it grew up for a while, then the thorns choked it out. Finally, some seed fell on good soil and it produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. We've seen all kinds here over the 20 plus years we've been here. We've seen many people come in here, hear the word of God, say, oh, wow, that's really amazing, that's cool, then leave and produce nothing. We've seen people in here who have heard the word and who've responded to God's word, and they've begun to trust the Lord. But trials come along, boom, they get withered up and they just wash out and walk away. I've seen others who come here, started serving the Lord, and then the cares of the world, careers, family matters, whatever, consume them, and they just die out. But by and large, you're good soil, and you're producing 30, 60, and 100 fold, even right now. And you know what? The quality of the soil doesn't change by who's watering it. Okay? The quality of the soil doesn't change by who's watering it. Much remains undone in the mission and vision of Tikvah Israel. Our acceptance in the Jewish community remains lacking. What I've had to learn over 22 plus tough years is that we can't undo 1,800 years of bad history in 20 years. Bad history of Christian anti-Semitism and the suspicion of the Jews who believe in Yeshua. It means constantly plowing forward. It means not getting discouraged. It means keeping our eyes on the mark. We're involved in a historic work. In many ways, it's revolutionary. And certainly, it's restorative. As Yeshua said, that we are to put our hands to the plow and not look back. I close today with the words from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15. This is what he says. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's close. Still here for another 2 weeks, though. So, Father, I just pray for all of us here, Lord. Lord, you have a mission and a vision and a calling on each of us individually and then all of us collectively. And Lord, I just pray that we will do what Abraham and Sarah also did and obey, oh Lord. Obey whatever you are telling us to do in our lives, oh God. That we'll take the risk and follow you and see the world changed around about us. Lord, that we're going to be part and we're going to be part of something far bigger than ourselves. And our legacy will be planted in heaven forever, oh God. Father, I thank you for each person here. And bless each person, oh God. In Yeshua's name. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction.